This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with me, Ginny Smith. If you have any questions about art conservation or any of the other topics we've been discussing in today's show, email us at studio@thenakedscientists.com, tweet at Naked Scientists, or find us on Facebook.
Buildings like St Paul's can easily stand for centuries, but what about the fragile paint that goes onto canvases? Well, earlier this week, Ginny went to the Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge to meet Sally Woodcock, who's currently completing her PhD at the Hamilton Kerr Institute, to find out how oil paintings age.
Today we've come to the Fitzwilliam Museum to have a chat about some of their paintings. Obviously, we've got all these beautiful paintings from hundreds of years ago that we want to keep and preserve so that our children and our children's children can still look at them. But what happens to paint as it gets older?
I think you can see here in the Fitzwilliam Museum, many of the paintings will tell you that story, because paint, as it dries, it changes, but then it also changes in relation to its environment, so it will respond to change. And so you've got paintings here in the museum that show overall patterns of aging cracks, and then specific areas of drying cracks. And then I think we're looking at an Edward Lear at the moment here, the Temple of Apollo, which has fabulous concentric spider's webs of cracks where at some point in the distant past someone has bashed it, thought nothing of it, and then 20 or 30 years later this spectacular crack pattern propagates in the paint film. And those are permanent. They are part of the history of the painting.
So what I can see here, it's a beautiful, huge painting with trees and rocks, and most of the time it looks perfectly fine. But if you get it so that the light's hitting it at a certain angle, there does seem to be a sort of ring of circles. So you think that's where someone actually bashed into the painting?
Yes, it's an impact crack, and it's likely to be where somebody bashed the back or the front, and it just allows the tension that's in the paint film to release, and you just get this crack pattern. When you look at a painting at an angle, you normally talk about looking at it in raking light, and it's one of the methods of examination we use just to be able to look at the surface, and it gives you an idea of the surface topography.
What's the difference between drying cracks and aging cracks?
Superficially, you can see a difference, because drying cracks occur when the paint film's very brittle, and therefore they're rather sharp, and they normally form an overall network, often over the whole painting. Sometimes they're more prominent in certain passages of paint, but they've got sharp, angular crack patterns, and they differ from drying cracks, which occur at a much earlier stage in the painting's aging, when the painting is drying and it's still quite a flexible film, and they flow slightly, so they're often rather curved at the edges. They're quite often, the actual aperture of the crack is rather wider, and they often make the surface look at the worst like a crocodile handbag, and they again can't be treated because they are part of the original materials of the painting, even if it wasn't the artist's intention ever for it to look like that.
So why do some of these paintings get lots of drying cracks, others get more aging cracks, and some look perfectly normal even after hundreds of years?
Well, there are an awful lot of variants. One thing is the environment in which they're kept. If you keep a painting in a very stable environment, it will reach equilibrium with even, on paper, quite poor conditions. The reason for the drying cracks is really the materials they used, and it's often the proportion of dryers and drying oil, and also the layer structure. So the traditional way of painting is fat over lean. You want your lower layers to dry before you put your upper layers on. What you find is if you do it the other way around, the lower layers are still drying while the upper layer forms a film, and then you'll often find one pulls the other apart. So a very common reason why British 19th century and 18th century paintings cracked was the addition of asphaltum or bitumen, which doesn't dry. And it was so common in British paintings of that period, it's known as craquelé anglais by the French, rather rudely, but actually their paintings aren't quite as bad as ours. And you find it in British and American pictures of this period.
Is that the same stuff that they use for pavements?
Not quite, but it is a refined tar product, and it's also in Egyptian mummies. They used asphaltum and things for the mummification process, and a pigment was made from mummified corpses in the 19th century, known as mummy brown, a very odd use of archaeological artefacts. And when Edward Burne-Jones, the Victorian painter, found what his mummy contained, he insisted on giving it a burial in the garden because he was so horrified that it had body parts in it. So that's an odd use of a non-drying component.
Can you tell me about what components go into making paint?
Well, at the simplest form, it's a mixture of a medium and a pigment. And the medium will usually be with oil paintings are drying oil, most commonly linseed. But then people started doing things to their linseed oil to try and change its handling properties and drying properties. So they added manganese or lead dryers to speed up the drying because it's quite a slow drying film. Or they would do things like heat body it, stand it out in the sun, or boil it to pre-polymerise it, all to change the thickness of it and to change the drying components.
So polymerization is when you have a load of small molecules and then they combine to make one long molecule. So that often makes things more viscous. And in this case, you mentioned that they did this to help them have a nice texture to paint with. So I guess causing them to polymerize would make it a bit thicker and hopefully make it dry more quickly and make it nicer to work with. Other than cracking, what else can happen to a painting over time?
Well, it can actually change in quite a few different ways. The pigments themselves can change. So sometimes they darken, more commonly they lose colour. So you'll see here at the Fitzwilliam Museum, they have a very celebrated collection of flower paintings. Quite a few of them have strangely blue-looking leaves because the yellow lake that was added to blue to make it green has disappeared. It's completely fugitive. And so what you're left is with just the blue component. So the tonal balance of the painting's completely changed. And that's normally as a result of light. And that's why the museum controls light below certain levels, both UV and lux, to try and make sure that actually that's not going to happen any more than it's happened already. You also find drying oils can become increasingly transparent. So some of the reason why sometimes you see things underneath that you weren't meant to see, like underdrawing, is the refractive index over time changes and you start to see things which once were covered. So you might see what are called pentimenti, where they're changes of mind. And the artist tried a different position for a hand or a different position for a vase or something, and you start to see them because of this change in refractive index.
And refractive index is how the light's bent when it hits a different medium. So if it's bent a lot, you'll see something different to if it's only bent a little bit. And you say that can change over time as the oils get older, is that right?
It's part of the ageing process of paintings and this increasing transparency. So you've got various things going on. So you've got increasing transparency, but then you've got a darkening of the actual oil medium as well. So it tends to become slightly more yellow. And some artists try to compensate for this when they knew this was happening by painting paler, hoping that over time they would darken down.
Sally Woodcock from the Hamilton Kerr Institute in Cambridge. And you can hear a special follow-on podcast all about how painting restoration goes about and is undertaken on our website if you go to nakedscientists.com/specials. And still with us is Oliver Carrow, who's the surveyor of the fabric at St Paul's Cathedral. And he was listening to that, and you've got a little thing you wanted to point out, because you've got a sort of problem of a slightly different type with one of your paintings in St Paul's.
Well, cracking on paintings can happen just because the background, what the painting is on, can give up. And here in St Paul's, we have the Thornhill paintings in the dome painted on the wall, which is actually cracking very badly, I saw a week or two ago, because salts are coming through the wall, driven by that enemy water. So I was sitting literally this morning, 270 feet above the cathedral floor, on a ledge, trying to get to grips with a painting that's cracking. Quite an anxious moment.
Just for the reassurance of people who are aiming to see this one day, are you going to succeed? I mean, can you restore that?
Yes, we will. Yes, no problem at all. But we've got to deal with the water leak first and then let it dry out.
So the church roof does need the funds.
Yes, indeed.